Good evening. Thank you all for being here tonight. We're going to call to order this board meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. Today is April 21st. It is 6:30. We're going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, if everyone will stand for that, and then if you would remain standing afterwards. And we will have our invocation by Marvin Jacobo, the Executive Director of the City Ministries Network, Modesto.
Please pray with me. Master, first of all, thank you for life. As I was sitting there, I realized how thankful all of us are of breath, of the possibility to be on this planet to make a difference for the sake of others, for the sake of our county. Thank you for our country. What an incredible place to be born in. What an honor it is to be an American. And for our county, Master, thank you that you have placed us here, because each one of us, even in this room, is an asset. A treasure, a positive piece of what it's going to be to bring prosperity and wellness to everybody in this county. Give each one of us wisdom to develop and strengthen the assets that are here. Bless these public servants and their families. Give them creative wisdom to tackle the challenges before them. And then, Master, may these proceedings be held in mutual respect and mutual civility. Amen.
Thank you, Marvin. Before you go, I just wanted just a little recognition for you. There's so much that you do for this community, Marvin, and I just want to make sure that everybody is aware. You know, there's people that in our community that do a lot of things that really make a difference, and you're one of those people. So I appreciate everything you do. Thank you. Okay. We are going to first... Before we go to public comment, we're going to report out on our closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, reporting out of closed session from the April 21st, 2015 special meeting of the Board of Supervisors, which was preceded this regular meeting, the board held a conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D4. Upon motion by Supervisor Chiesa, seconded by Supervisor Monteith, the board unanimously authorized County Council to initiate a complaint for injunctive relief and to abate a public nuisance related to operation of Kiona's Pharmacy as a marijuana dispensary located at 7440 and 7450 River Road in the unincorporated area outside of Oakdale, California.
Okay, thank you, Jack. Okay, we're going to go now to our public comment. And I have two. This time period is for anything that is not on the agenda, and you have 5 minutes to speak. And I have two cards right now to speak, and I have three cards right now to speak.
I have four cards. Can we make it four?
Very good. We have four, and we will start off with Susan Beasley.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm Susan Beasley, the Executive Director of the Parent Resource Center, located right here on 5th Street and also our satellite office in the airport neighborhood. Yes, I see Supervisor Monteith has already found his little flower. And I placed in front of your chairs there, your desks, a little flower because it's actually a pinwheel. The pinwheel symbolizes childhood, and they have happy faces because all children should have a happy childhood. And that is what the month of April is, Child Abuse Prevention Month. Want to make sure that we let you know about that, the work that we do. Our case managers are on the receiving end of some of those referrals that come in through Child Protective Services. So the case managers are going out to the homes trying to provide services to our families. And in fact, this evening we have an evening parenting class in the airport neighborhood. So I also want to say thank you for your past support and funding through grants, allowing us to do our work. Remind you that it is Child Abuse Prevention Month. Take the pinwheel, each one has a message, and help us spread that message about building strong, healthy families, Modesto, the airport neighborhood throughout Stanislaus County. And we do that by example as aunts, uncles, moms, dad, grandparents, whatever positive role model we are to a child. So thank you very much, and I hope you carry that message around.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, next up is Joe Gordo. Am I saying that right? Joe, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
My name is Joe Gordo. I'm owner of, or president of Sun Electric here in San Luis County. We're a full service electrical contractor and solar installer. And I spoke in front of you guys a couple weeks ago regarding the HERO program. And I spoke to you also about helping people and how I feel that that is my mission in life. And luckily I was able to become an electrical contractor and find a use to use my talents and skills to be able to help other people manage their electrical services and so forth. And specifically towards PV solar. We're a big proponent of solar ownership as opposed to leasing programs and so forth. And we feel that the utility companies, they do provide a great service, and we can't really expect to live without them in our communities. We feel that sometimes it's a little bit nicer to have power right at home and be able to not be succumbed to increasing energy costs and so forth. And specifically, last time I talked to you guys about the HERO program, and I understand that there are some concerns regarding the HERO program being adopted in Stanislaus County. While, there is obvious reasons why this would help us, it would increase revenues for, building projects that otherwise wouldn't have been able to been financed by everyday homeowners. Another reason is that it would increase jobs in the community. I already see myself having to triple my crew by the end of summer, or the beginning of summer, really, to be able to handle the load that HERO program already is showing in other communities that have adopted the HERO program. And really, I don't want to beat the horse or whatever the saying is, but I do believe that HERO program can open up the door for people to do improvements, energy efficient improvements to their homes that wouldn't otherwise have been able to do that. And I just want to give you guys this handout from HERO. There's a nifty little page in here about where you can learn about why there are safeguards and precautions to meet your guys' concerns before you adopt it. But I just invite you guys to continue to keep it on the table and maybe adopt it eventually. Just finally, I know that one of the big concerns is Fannie and Freddie not being approved in the HERO program on new transactions and FHA loans not allowing them. But I would say that there's a mindset that I have that I don't necessarily want to always go what the big corporate people want to say as far as how I live my life and so forth. And I just hope that you can continue to look at the people as the real issue while we're here. We're all here to help the people, and I feel that HERO program can definitely help the people. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, next up is Jamie Costin. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm here to talk to you about the water situation, all the well drilling that's going on, and it is a deep concern, not only of myself, my neighbors. As we know, at one time this valley was marsh. Over the years, obviously it's changed, and we continue to pump more water out of the ground. Not only our irrigation districts do that, a lot of times the surface water goes to farmers, but then we sell our water to other areas. And at what cost? When are we going to run out of our resources? They put a 500-foot well in across the street from us. We're in the country, so if our well runs dry, we have to you know, drill a new well. Well, in 5 or 10 years, will there even be any water there? I know the state monitors wells, and I know over the past few years, the water level has decreased significantly, but we have corporate farms coming in here from all over the world, tapping into our rich resources. What are we going to do? Do you live in the country? Do you live in the city? Either way, whether you live in the country or the city. I talked to a friend that lives just outside of Oakdale. He's got a well. His well's 120 feet deep. Okay, 3 years ago. It's at like 90 feet. He's probably going to have to drill a new well. He was shocked. He's in the computer industry. Okay, another friend Sunday night came over. He's got relatives in between Fresno and Bakersfield. They're pumping water and actually into a reservoir and shipping it 12 miles away, okay? I can't give you an exact instance of that happening here, but as a responsible citizen and as the person who led the prayer, okay, God gave us this earth, and we need to take care of it. If we don't take care of it, how long are we going to be able to farm the valley, okay? They say this valley feeds the world and the country. I don't think the country and the world needs all these nuts that's going in, okay? A lot of that's filling people's pockets in other parts of the country. When are we going to protect our own resources? What option am I going to have? What option are our neighbors going to have? What option are you going to have? It says down here in Modesto, it says wealth, water, contentment, and health, okay? Well, I'm not very content right now, for sure, about the water situation. And we want water, right? We have to have water. It's a basic resource for life. I grew up on a small farm and ranch. I worked for my dad for 18 years. I love farmers. I love ranchers. That's how I grew up, okay? I still love getting up in the morning and doing chores and take care of animals. My kids love to do that. I would love to pass something on to them. But are we going to have water to pass it on to them? That's the question. How are you guys going to start regulating the water? Something has to be done. If something is not done, if somebody doesn't step up, I don't want to be here. This is not comfortable for me. I've got cotton mouth, and I do not like speaking in public, okay? But somebody has to speak up. And until it happens and affects you personally, just like the computer guy last night didn't even know about all this, okay? We're not going away, and there's going to be more people coming in here because this is a real issue, and we have to tackle it. Water has never been regulated in California. I know that. You can just consume. Consume, 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 and pump it 12 miles down the road and sell it to whoever. How smart is that? How long is that going to last? So at least they stopped granting permits, right? Just carte blanche granting permits. But out where we live, there's 7 more wells to go in, 500 feet deep. What are we going to do? It's crazy. Again, a lot of these are just large corporations, LLCs, out of another state. They're going to pump these resources out. They don't, when the water's gone, they don't care. It's going to be a tax write-off for them. Thank you.
Jamie, thank you. And, you know, Jamie, I would encourage it. We have our Water Advisory Committee meeting is tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is dealing with all these things. I'd encourage you to come to that.
I would love to.
Okay.
I work 60 to 70 hours a week, full-time job. I'm the sole income earner of my family.
And sometimes we have those in the evenings, too, that rotate. Sometimes we have them in the mornings, and then we rotate, and we have them at night. So the next night one, we'll catch you at that one.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for coming in. Thank you guys all for being here. Okay. Next up, Rebecca Harrington.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Withrow. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Board. Hello again. I haven't been here in a while. First of all, I do want to say thank you for the hard work that has been happening in the Park Lawn area. I know it's been very difficult. We've had some very tenuous times, some very agitated opinions of what's going on, but the main point is that it's something that has been needed for well over 40 years, and I hope that once we get everything going, and we hopefully will get a grant coming in so that can help that area. And it's very much needed, and I know Mr. Machado has done a lot of work, and I want to let you know that he has been very gracious and has really put a stiff upper lip when he's had some very difficult opinions and difficult personalities at the meeting. So I want you to know that he has really stepped up to the plate, and I think the county should be proud of him for everything that he's done in that respect. Secondly, the item that I want to address is that we know that the Central Valley Recycling is going to be coming up to a committee review on May 7th. Unfortunately, I cannot be there at this meeting because I've invited some of you to an event that I had, and it just seemed to conflict with that. So those of you who haven't acknowledged my invitation, please do. I'd like to know if you'd be there. But I do want to say that we have really had a difficult road with this. It's not getting any better. I've had some information brought to me, which I had to pass on to the CHP because it, again, regarded stolen vehicles. And that's something that just doesn't seem to go away. So I think the board really needs to, not to address this, but just keep that in the back of your mind. I have contacted many people that I know, and you know I know a lot of people. So I'm hoping to get a large number of people to give letters in support of our community. As the owners of Central Valley Recycling have never, ever taken into consideration to this day from the time that they had that written agreement with you, Mr. Doering, they've never complied. They've never made any effort to go out into the community to try and court the community regarding this. They did have an opportunity at a meeting, and I told them very succinctly, if you want some type of feedback from the community, you need to knock on doors. You need to be grassroots. You need to go to the people and plead your case and let them talk to you what they feel. They never did, and they never have. And I think that that's very important in understanding that our community, you know, while we are an unincorporated area, we do have a lot of people there who've lived there for many years. My parents have been there 65 years. We're not going anywhere, and as are a lot of other people who live in that community. And I just think it's just very important to understand that with all of this that has happened, I am very grateful that the county has put forth some policies in place so that no other community has to go through this trials and tribulations of trying to deal with a business that is not conducive to its neighbors. It is a commercial area, but it is not an industrial area. They continue to bring in cars. They continue to do their business, not within the parameters that was given in the guidelines. And like I said, I never want to put them out of business. It's not about the business because they're entitled to do their actual CRV recycling through the state of California, which is great. And I feel that they're entitled to do that, but they do need to move that other portion of their business elsewhere. And I know there has to be other areas of the county that are not close to residences and not that close to proximity of water wells, because we have a water well not too far down the street from less than a football field, our Del Este water well. And if I know that our air is being polluted, which I've called numerous times to the San Joaquin Valley Board, I know that our groundwater has to be polluted. So that's all that I had to say. So I said thank you for the work with Park Lawn. Thank you to Mr. Machado and also to the planning department for what they've done there as well and backing us and working on this project. And I hope to see you all again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. Okay, next up is Nanette Spikesma. Nanette, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Terry?
Good, thank you.
And good evening, board. I'm not coming here to complain, mainly just ask a question because I think you guys all do a wonderful job. In Salida on Finney and Gold, I think it's Gold Valley, There's a sound wall that a vehicle went through back in January, and it's still the same way. I don't know who's responsible for the sound wall. I figured since it's county or Melrose pays for that to be fixed. I don't know if the vehicle that hit the wall had insurance or the property owner, because it's in, you know, it backs up to a, I have a picture of it if you want to see it, but yeah. I don't know who to actually contact to take care of that.
Let's let Colt talk about it here.
Oh, okay.
One second. All right. Colt Essenwine, Public Works Department, Deputy Director. That wall was hit, and Parks did contact us about that wall, and that wall is not specifically inclusive to the assessment district, and therefore would be either the property owner's responsibility or the person who actually wrecked the wall. I don't know what's been done with it besides that, but we did review the assessment district documentation, and it doesn't include the sound wall. The sound wall is actually, built about a foot inside of the property line of the residences in that area.
Okay, so what can be done to actually get the person that's responsible to get it fixed?
That I can't answer that question. I don't know how to get that.
Do we know if there was a, yeah. if they caught the person or is who? No, we don't know.
Well, the situation was it was supposedly they found the car was left there, and they actually found the people that was responsible for it a couple blocks away, and they shouldn't have been driving, put it that way. They were drunk. Okay. So again, I don't even know if they even had insurance to even take care of that.
Okay, Stan?
I'd have to look to Ms. Eggers, but if it's not part of the assessment district, which my understanding is the same as Colt's, then it really becomes, is there some violation of law here where it becomes a code enforcement issue or not? And I'm not aware of any codes requiring sound walls, so I'm not sure the county has any ability to effectuate any change here. But I'm going to look, and maybe Angela, I may even look for our planning director, see if you have any thoughts of whether it's a condition of original approval, whether that would give us some kind of leverage. But yeah, it's not a public works issue, so okay. We'll have to see whether we have any tools or not.
Okay, and I was told that house has a swimming pool in the backyard, so if it does, I would think that the fence somehow will need to be fixed.
Let's see what our experts say.
Thank you.
Angela Freitas, planning director. Mr. Risen went directly to where I was going. It's a development standard. Most of those developments, residential developments out in Salida, were done as planned developments, and many of them did require the wall as part of the project design. So we would need to go back and review that specific project to see if the wall was indeed a requirement. From an aesthetic standpoint, it could have even been a sound standpoint. We'll have to review that to see exactly how that plays into the plan development.
That's great. Jamie, something else you want to add?
No, but okay. We will work with planning. If they determine that something's been violated, then we could look at it as a code enforcement issue.
Perfect.
Perhaps.
So we are aware of it, and we will figure out what we can do here.
Yes, and we certainly will.
If anything, yeah. Yes.
And we do have, I was having some information shared that we may be able to validate to the property owner that wall is indeed on their property, and then they can go through their homeowner's insurance to get some coverage of that, and the homeowner's insurance, I'm sure, would go after the folks who actually went into the wall. So we will be working with all parties.
All right, thank you, ladies.
Okay, very good, thank you. Okay, and our last one is Dwayne Spikesma. Dwayne, how are you?
How you doing? First thing, I don't know if I was the property owner of that piece of property and somebody came in, I don't feel that I would have to put it against my personal insurance when it's somebody else's fault. I mean, that's just an opinion. But anyway, this next thing is I want to thank you guys for putting up the extra money to our sheriff's department. Now that the sheriff's department has been able to hire more deputies and put them in the area, we're glad that they're there. They're doing successful job, and just want to extend to you guys that we really appreciate having the extra money so that the sheriff can actually do their job. And they're getting more sergeants in the area. They're capturing a lot of the bad guys, which is good. And so that takes care of that. But the last thing I want to talk about is the speed limit downtown Salida. It's right now is at 25 miles an hour. It's dangerous down there at 25 miles an hour. You got the way the parking is situated, the way the streets are situated. You can try to pull off of Elm and cross Broadway. You can't see what cars are coming. There's a lot of accidents there all the time. And I just think that the speed limit downtown needs to be dropped to 15 miles an hour. If you drop that to 15, they might do 25 instead of 35 and 40 like they're doing now, and hoping that they can get away with it. But that is just an important issue down there, and I think it's going to apply a little bit to the upcoming store, but that's besides the point. But overall, this has been needing to be done for quite some time. It's dangerous down there. I hate when I go have to park off the street and have to back up. You don't know if the person, even though he's two blocks down coming toward you, you don't know if he's going to stop and let you back out or if he's just going to nail you and say that, well, you pulled into his right-of-way. So it's a very dangerous situation, and I'm hoping maybe you guys can do something about that.
Okay, thanks, Jim. We'll have Public Works maybe look at that and see what's warranted is what we'll do.
All right, thanks.
Very good. Thanks, Dwayne. Okay, that's it for speaker cards. Do we have anybody else? Public comment? Any comments for something that's not on the agenda? Very good. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to consent calendar. We have request to pull three items on consent, A5, D1, and B6. Any other
requests? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a conflict on D1. That's why that's being pulled. I own the property.
Very good. When we get that one, Jim, we'll ask you to leave here.
I will step out.
Okay, very good. Okay. None other. Do we have a motion for consent?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Passes 5-0. Okay, I just pulled A5. I'll hit that one first if I could. I don't really need any help from staff here on this. Just this is just to point out that that this board is not taking a position for or against a special tax for the Burbank. We're just approving for the clerk to do this and to conduct the election. That's the cheapest way for that election to happen, and we'll let the people of the district decide on that. So I just wanted to point that out. Any comment from the board? Comment from the, okay. Should we vote on that one and move on? Okay, so we have a motion on A5.
I'll move.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second,
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay, B6, Supervisor.
I get to first say thank you to all those firemen out there. I said that earlier, but they're volunteers, and it's a tough job to do, and all the training requirements that are there. So thank you guys again.
We appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah. B6, it was just a comment. I'm absolutely okay with all the language. The water, our water platform, or not our water platform, the water, the bills that are coming out so quickly, and things are changing. I would like, and I'm going to vote for this tonight, but I would like to reroute this through maybe the Water Advisory Committee just to take a look at it. Walt is an expert. Sarge is an expert. Just to make sure. It looks pretty broad to me, which is good. Usually broad language gives us a lot of latitude. But if either there or the Ag Advisory Committee, but probably the WAC is the right place for this. So just reroute it after, and if they think that anything needs to be changed, appreciate it, because it's just changing so quickly.
We'll do that.
Okay. Very appreciate good. It. Motion to approve.
Got a motion. We have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0. Okay. We will ask Supervisor Martini to leave, DeMartini to leave. For those who are just listening and not watching, we have to acknowledge that Supervisor DeMartini has left the room. There we go.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 5-4-0 with
the
one.
Will he come back?
See if we can get Supervisor DeMartini back in here. Let it be known that Supervisor DeMartini has re-entered the building.
And he's bringing cookies with him.
That's right, just like Elvis. Okay. It's time now.
Fast water.
to move on to our 6:35 scheduled matters.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to abstain from this and remove myself from the dais, although I don't have a legal conflict of interest that could be perceived that I have a conflict of interest. This is the approval of a grocery store, and I happen to be a partner in a grocery store. And under the abundance of caution, I'm going to abstain from this vote.
Very good. Okay, let it be known that Supervisor O'Brien has left the room. Okay.
Good evening, Chairman Withrow, members of the board, CEO Risen, and Mr. Doring, Angela Freitas, Planning Director. With here this evening with Miguel Galvez, Planning Manager, and Javier Camarena, who will be presenting our first project. We have before you this evening two general plan amendments, and it's kind of exciting to be here with two general plan amendments, let alone, you know, if it was just one. It's a good indication and a good sign that we're seeing some economic recovery, and we've got some applicants out there willing to reinvest into the community. So we're going to start off with the first one, which is a Salida Market project, and I'm going to turn it over to Javi to provide the presentation.
Good evening, Javier Camarena, Associate Planner with the Stanislaus County Planning Department. The item being discussed this evening is a General Plan Amendment and Rezone Application Number PLN 2014-0080, Salida Market. The proposal is to amend the General Plan designation of medium density residential to planned development and rezone from C2 General Commercial to planned development on a 0.33-acre parcel to allow a retail market. The project is located at 4600 Broadway Avenue at the corner of Broadway Avenue and Curtis Street in the downtown Salida area. The site is currently designated medium density residential and is zoned C2 general commercial. The project is also within the Salida Community Plan and is designated commercial in the community plan. Here's just a wide aerial of the area, the downtown Salida area. You can see here Broadway Avenue and Curtis Street. It's right there at the corner. The site currently contains a 4,406 square foot commercial building, a parking lot, an alley here abutting the property to the south, southeast, vacant lot, commercial properties along Broadway and Curtis, and then a residential area southeast of the site. This is a picture of the site as it currently is. Here's the existing building. Parking lot is right here, and this is the intersection of Broadway and this Curtis Street. The proposed project would allow the replacement of an existing building with an 8,761 square foot building to accommodate a retail market. 1,807 square feet of existing structure will remain as part of the overall new commercial building. So it's located right here on the bottom part of the site plan. The project includes two on-site parking spaces, 8 diagonal parking spaces along Broadway Avenue, and another 8 parking spaces overlapping the property line along Curtis Road. So half of the parking will be on site, half will be in the road right of way, and the sidewalk will be right there along that property line. Proposed hours of operation are from 7 to 10 p.m. daily, with eight employees and 30 customers at peak business hours, and the market will include a bakery, deli, groceries, meat, and produce. The following are some elevations of the proposed project. This is the front elevation facing Broadway Avenue. The materials that are going to be used are plastered exterior walls, ceramic tile, and aluminum storefront. It's also going to have a canopy along the front. This is another elevation. This one's facing the rear, and the last one facing Curtis Street. While processing the application, a number of items were identified which should be considered. The first item is whether to consider development in downtown Salida comprehensively or on a case-by-case basis. The proposed project provides flexibility, and Broadway Avenue is a commercial corridor for Salida. Properties in a downtown area are typically developed with storefront buildings, providing little, if any, setbacks, with parking provided on the street, as these areas are oriented to the walking public. Although the county does not have downtown-oriented development standards, the general plan support documentation provides design guidelines for the former redevelopment area of Salida, and the project site is within that former redevelopment area of Salida. Because the county does not have downtown-oriented development standards, a plan development provides the next best entitlement process. Another item needing to be considered is that the use itself is allowable under the C2 zoning district. However, under existing C2 zoning, the project would expand the required lot coverage and be unable to provide the required 29 spaces that are required on site. The project is proposing to use street parking, two on site, 8 on Broadway Avenue off site, and 8 on Curtis Street, splitting the property line. The proposed standards are consistent with downtown settings and are also consistent with the surrounding area and the downtown Salida area. So here's some stores along Broadway Avenue. As you could see, they go up to the front property line and the street parking is utilized. A block down is the post office. So it'll be something similar to the post office, street frontage along Broadway. And this is Elm Street, but this is what they're looking at for Curtis Street for the proposed project. Staff presented the project at two Salida MAC meetings. General concerns have been raised regarding traffic, visibility along Broadway Avenue, and utilizing the alley for deliveries. Public Works has not indicated any significant issues regarding these concerns that have been raised. A discussion on the general plan and zoning consistency can be found on pages 5 and 6 of the attached January 15th staff report. In order to approve the general plan amendment, the Board of Supervisors must make specific findings, which include that the general plan amendment will maintain a logical land use pattern without detriment to existing and planned uses, that the county and other affected government agencies will be able to maintain levels of service, and that the project be consistent with the general plan goals and policies. On January 15th, the Planning Commission held a public hearing regarding the proposed project. 3 people spoke in opposition of the project and 5 people spoke in favor. The 3 individuals that spoke in opposition were store owners near the project site. Their concerns included traffic congestion, parking issues, delays related to a nearby train crossing, and concerns that deliveries would block traffic. After the public hearing, a petition was presented to staff with signatures in opposition of the project, and that petition can be found in attachment 4 of the board report. The project's representative, developer, and property owner all spoke in favor of the project. Also speaking at the Planning Commission meeting were 2 residents who stated that the proposed project is a grocery store and not a convenience store. They clarified that a convenience store provides basic necessities, whereas the grocery store provides a wide variety of products. They mentioned that Salida residents currently have to leave the Salida area to find a grocery store. Pursuant to CEQA, the project was circulated to all responsible agencies for review, and a negative declaration has been prepared for the project, as it will not have a significant impact on the environment. The Planning Commission discussed the project at their meeting and concluded that the Planning Commission itself is not authorized to interfere with competition between free enterprise, but must focus more on land use and development regulations. The Planning Commission voted 5-0 to recommend approval of the general plan amendment and rezone to the Board of Supervisors. Pages 1 and 2 of the board report provide the full Planning Commission recommendation and required findings for approval. This concludes my presentation, and staff is available for any questions that the board may have.
Very good, thank you. Any questions?
Yes, please.
Supervisor Monteith.
The only concern I have is delivery area or loading dock, is that in back on the alley? And is there enough space there? I just noted
the loading
there's nothing in the front.
Right, the loading dock is proposed right here, I believe. The applicant is here also if we have any clarification questions, but it's right here next to the alley. So what they're proposing is to come in with trucks, drop any goods off on that dock and leave, and then the employees from the store would take them in at a later time.
Where's that dock located, please? Again, you
right
have
here.
A picture here. Is that on the top or over?
No, this is the alley. Broadway Avenue is right here.
Okay, but the Broadway is right in front. So the truck enters from Broadway, or does it enter the other way?
It would come. Essentially, they'd probably come in through Curtis Street. I'm sorry.
All I was saying is the traffic that was going through the main street there.
Right.
That there is enough room for loading docks and delivery of product in that wouldn't compound the problem that was brought up just a moment ago. That was the only question I had.
Okay.
So, okay. You feel there's sufficient room and space to do that?
Yes. At the Planning Commission meeting, we actually discussed it, and there is room for, I'm not exactly sure how large of a truck, but the trucks that are going to be used, there's plenty of room for them to get in.
And then their scheduling of more than one truck is up to their scheduling to do it, and they would have to address that.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Okay, we will go. We have a couple speaker cards on this, a couple people would like to address us. First one will be Bob DeGrassi. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bob, hold on 1 second. I screwed up here. 1 second. We need to open up the public hearing, I guess, for this. Okay, we will open the public hearing. There we go.
You're good now,
Bob.
Good evening, Board. Bob DeGrasse, L Street Architects. I'm here to speak positive for the project. My owner is in the audience in case you have specific questions for him. And I did one thing, first of all, with my client this morning. We read through all the conditions of approval. We understand those, and we don't have any questions or concerns about those issues. We've been working with staff over several months. It's always pleasant to work with staff. I want to compliment them on their help. And, in fact, some of the solutions and revisions and evolutions of this project have come up through their comments and suggestions, and it's been a pleasure to get there. One item that came up last time is we did a very generic name and called it Salida Market. That's just a placeholder, and the actual name of the market hasn't been decided yet, and it will be at some point, but it won't be Salida Market. Okay, so staff brought up the point about it is not a convenience store, it's a grocery store, and it's set up for the residents to be able to go to or walk to. And I think another point that staff didn't bring up is pricing points. If you go buy a gallon of milk in a grocery store and you buy a gallon of milk in a convenience store, you can see there's some pricing differences there. The other issue, the other item that's positive here is there's an ATM. That exterior ATM and the citizens in the MAC meetings were very vocal about making sure that we kept that service available for them. And we had designed it to be on the inside of the market to start with, and they'd like to have it on the outside so it can be available at additional hours. The traffic was brought up and talked about, and certainly the traffic on Broadway has some problems, and there were the opponents last time brought up a lot of instances and examples of how people are going diagonal across that intersection. And those are issues that are certainly there, and I don't think that this will negatively impact or degrade the situation. In fact, I think that the new design of that corner on the upper right-hand corner will help define an example of how corners should be done down there for disability and access. The other point I'd like to make is I think this will end up as a very positive example of how development in that downtown core can be done successfully and attractively, and I think this will end up being an attractive project for you. So I really only have two goals here tonight, other than just making those statements, which is to answer any questions that you might have, and I'll be in the audience if additional questions come up, and to ask for your approval. And let me not forget to address the delivery that Supervisor Monteith brought up. There will be two deliveries of trucks a day. The concept, because the site's so tight, they will come off of Curtis, go down the alleyway, unload their product, and leave in a timely manner, thus allowing for the product to be brought into the store as opposed to having the truck there longer such that it would take longer to unload the truck. There's adequate turning radiuses for that, and the trucks are under the limits that are established for that roadway. So we've thought that through carefully. So, questions?
That answers mine.
Very good. Any questions? Very good.
All right. Well, if additional questions arise, so we'll be here and be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Okay, next up we have John Walker. John, how are you?
Good. Good evening, Board. It's like the first time I've ever been able to stand up here and support and cheer for something. I'm a resident of Modesto, so I don't necessarily live in Salida, but over the last year I've grown to become friends with them. And this really does, from what I've watched and followed from the original planning idea when the Planning Commission released this, thought that looks like a really good idea. And having driven through there, I think their desire to have a grocery store like I do in my neighborhood, where I can run down and go get my fresh produce and meat and find sale items and specialty items, is a great idea. I also have a great deal of background in this retail industry, which is why I like your question, Supervisor Monteith. That was one I had. 13 years in Safeway in all different capacities, is that trucks and deliveries can be a pain.
Yes.
And so they sound like they've got that covered. I think the other thing that's neat about this is that it is a local small business. And I think that's sort of inspiring, as staff brought up as well, that we're back in a position where we're not talking about a big box store coming in and shipping bundles of money back to corporate headquarters. It's a local business that's willing to invest in the community, that lives in the community, and provide a service that clearly is needed. I think, like the gentleman talked about, pricing points in the grocery industry, retail market, the profit margins are very thin. There's not a whole lot of room for errors and mistakes in that if you're going to do well at it. And by the way, their place is awesome. Love going in there. But I think if he manages the business well and the need is there, as seems to be indicated by the residents, that this sounds like a great idea and would certainly put a nice clean front on that part of town. The one thing I was asked to mention was speed limit. And I was asked about, is it going to be 15 miles an hour? And that was a number that I was given by some local residents as seeming to be the right number. And having driven through there, it is fairly tight and would be interested to know if that was addressed. But otherwise, I think this sounds like a great idea, and I get a chance to speak positively at this podium, which has not happened before. Thank you. You guys have a great evening.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments with regard to this? Very good. Now, I guess I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the board.
Okay.
Supervisor Chiesa.
Seems fairly easy to me. Again, I appreciate you going through the MAC and incorporating some of their ideas. It's always important for us as we rely a lot on what the MAC has to say. It seems to fit the downtown core. It's not our job to determine who stays in business, who doesn't. And so I think we're okay with that. As long as the turning radius, as long as you guys are okay with the trucks in the alley, I'll be okay with the trucks in the alley. I'd like to see more parking on site, but sometimes it's just not possible. So I'll be supporting this today.
Good. Thank you, Supervisor Chiesa. Any other comments? Supervisor Monteith.
Well, I am familiar with the area, and I also think it provides a service for the community, which the community is continuing to grow and may have some additional aspirations along the way. And I believe having a full capacity grocery store will prevent having more people on the highway trying to travel back and forth. And it can be the anchor of perhaps developing the downtown area there, which I think will happen eventually. So I will also be supporting the issue.
Very good, thank you. And I will just comment really quicker. I think this is a great project, kind of the evolution of this building. Went from a sheriff's substation, at least in my short history of being around, that was a sheriff's substation, I think, at one point. Then things went south when it became a day reporting center that we wanted to get out of Salida as soon as we could, and we have done that, which is a good thing. And now this looks like this is a great project, a great operation to have there. I think it'll really help the downtown area there on Broadway. So I very much support and endorse this. And I like Supervisor Chiesa said, I know this has gone to the MAC, and there were good comments there at the MAC. So I think this is a great project. So do I have a motion?
So move.
Motion, a second? I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Aye. Passes 4-0. Thank you guys very much. We can get Supervisor O'Brien to come back in.
From a schnooze.
Okay, our 640.
Okay. The next project before you is also a general plan amendment rezone. It's BLP Properties located on McHenry Avenue. Joining myself and Miguel at the staff table is Jeremy Ballard, who is an assistant planner with the department, and the project planner for this project. And this is Jeremy's first project to make its way to the Board of Supervisors.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Angela. Good evening once again.
There we go.
Good evening once again, Board Chair Withrow, members of the board, Mr. Rice and Mr. Doring, members of the public. Again, Miguel Galvez, Jeremy Ballard here, Planning and Community Development staff. We are here to present General Plan Amendment and Rezone Application number PLN 2014-0077 BPL Properties. The project consists of three components. Number one, it's a request to amend the general plan designation from agriculture to plan development. Number two, it's a request to rezone the subject property from A240, general agriculture, to plan development. Number three, both actions involved a 1.5-acre property containing an existing 2,900-square-foot building, and it also involves a proposed construction of a 6,500 commercial building and parking lot. The project would be developed under two phases, which I will review subsequently. The project site is generally located south of Ladd Road and north of the city of Modesto. The site is specifically located at 5801 McHenry Avenue at the northwest corner of St. Francis Avenue and McHenry Avenue, also known as State Route 108. Currently, the site has a general plan designation of agriculture. Surrounding general plan designations include agriculture to the west, to the north, and to the east. A general plan designation of plan development is located to the south of the project site. The Modesto sphere of influence is depicted way at the bottom in the red dashed line along the Kearney and Claribel Road alignment. In terms of zoning, the subject property is zoned A240. As I mentioned, properties to the west, to the north, and to the east are also zoned A240. The property to the south is zoned specifically plan development 327, which was approved for commercial and industrial uses as generally allowed in the planned industrial zone with some limited retail uses, or retail sales, excuse me. Here's a 2013 aerial photo of the site. There exists on site a vacant commercial building, exactly 2,954 square feet, as well as a 31 space parking lot. Property is bordered by MID lateral to the west, St. Francis Avenue to the south, and McHenry Avenue to the east. Vehicles can presently access the site using McHenry Avenue and St. Francis there to the south. The property has been partially developed for over 30 years. Past legal nonconforming uses included a used car sales lot, a 24-hour card room with a restaurant and bar service. Looking a little bit further out, adjacent land uses include the following. To the north, there's the Garten Tractor Business, a convenience market, and a mechanical repair shop. To the east, there's agricultural production, row crops, as well as residential development. To the west, across the MID lateral, is an almond orchard and a single-family dwelling. And finally, to the south is Plan Development 327, which I mentioned. And further to the southwest is a residential development consisting of ranchettes. As I mentioned earlier, the project would be developed in two phases. This represents phase one, which includes utilizing the existing commercial building and developed area located on the southern portion of the property. Some of the improvements would include modifying access points on along McHenry Avenue and St. Francis Avenue. It would include adding water storage tanks to meet fire flow standards. It would include installation of landscaping along each section of the street frontage there. The landscaping would consist of drought-resistant materials. Along the western property line, a chain link fence and hedgerow would be installed to meet the county's ag buffer requirements. Finally, any additional improvements to the building would be installed by any future tenants. Phase two of the project, represented by the red dashed boundary there, will consist of the development of the vacant ground located on the northern half of the property. It will consist of the construction of a 6,500 square foot commercial building, adding 22 parking spaces. Some of it includes additional parking island in the existing parking lot on the southern half. Other improvements include a storm drainage facility located on the way on the north of the property. It will involve the Measure X aerobic septic system, additional water storage facility for fire suppression, and it would include installation of landscaping along the western portion of the property and around the newly constructed building. Phase two, I want to emphasize at this point, is conceptual and will be market driven. The applicant is anticipating that phase two would be developed in 7 to 15 years. Here are the conceptual building elevations of the new building with views from the east, from the south, and the north. In terms of issues, there are two issues that staff sees. Number one is traffic. The Caltrans threshold for requiring a traffic impact analysis is 50 vehicle trips at peak hour. The applicant elected to postpone that traffic impact analysis until a commercial tenant is actually selected. Consequently, staff is addressing traffic concerns by identifying approved uses for each of the phases one and two. Approved commercial uses are delineated in attachment one of the Planning Commission memo dated March 5th, 2015. The second issue has to do with land use. Subsequent to the March Planning Commission meeting, the applicant requested that outdoor vehicle sales be permitted subject to a staff approval application instead of a use permit application. Planning staff is in support of this request. In terms of general plan consistency, let me briefly highlight some of the key considerations. Number one, the site's unique characteristics due to the shape, the size, and layout of the parcel, the 1.5 acre parcel, is compressed between MID Canal and the State Route 108. So we have some site considerations. Number two is the proposed project would allow an existing partially developed parcel to expand and diversify and will be consistent with the general plan's goals and policies to promote, foster, and diversify economic growth of the local economy through appropriate land use policies. Number three, per the ag element, a 300-foot agriculture buffer along the western property line is being required for the potential people-intensive uses that is being proposed. Number four, staff believes that the proposed project will not contribute to or encourage to further conversion of large agricultural lands to non-agricultural lands and will not be growth-inducing due to the physical features associated with the project site. Staff believes that the findings of the agriculture element conversion criteria can be met. Additional findings. In order to take affirmative action regarding the general plan amendment application, the findings above, here shown on this slide, must be found in regards to the proposed project. Development standards, I want to add, development standards have been added to the project to address any potential increase in the county's ability to provide a reasonable level of service. The applicant will be required to annex to the Salida Fire Protection District and will be responsible for improvements along the St. Francis Avenue and as well as McHenry Avenue street frontages. These development standards can be found on Exhibit C to the Planning Commission staff report. Let's go on to the next slide. In terms of zoning ordinance consistency, in order to approve the requested zone, rezone, the board must find that the proposed plan development zoning is consistent with the general plan designation of plan development for the proposed site. The general plan states, the plan development designation is intended for land which, because of a demonstrably unique characteristics, may be suitable for a variety of uses without detrimental effect on other property. The planned development zoning is intended to modify requirements established by other zoning districts while addressing both compatibility with surrounding uses and compliance with the general plan. If the proposed general plan amendment is approved, the proposed planned development zoning will be consistent with the general plan designation of planned development. Moving on to environmental review, pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, the proposed project was circulated to various agencies. Based on the initial study for the project, no significant issues were raised, and adoption of a negative declaration is proposed. Finally, recommendation, the Planning Commission at its March 5th, 2015 regular meeting on a vote of 8-0 voted to or recommended a project approval. No one spoke in opposition to the project. Staff recommends amending the entitlement requirements for allowing outdoor vehicle sales subject to staff approval application instead of a use permit. That concludes staff's presentation. We're happy to respond to any questions.
Very good. Thanks, Miguel. Any questions of staff? No questions from the board. Okay, we will open the public hearing. We have one request to speak from Rod Hawkins. Rod, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, board members, I'm just here representing the property owners, BPL Enterprises, and just would like to thank staff with all their efforts, and I appreciate their willingness to work with us and meet with us and work through this application, and appreciate their willingness through the last week or so to amend the application to allow the potential for auto sales with staff approval. Obviously, we have a quite a list of approved or allowed uses for the area, and we're just trying to utilize a really nice building and piece of property that's been utilized for a number of years, but we just need to be able to market it with approved uses so that people can understand what they might be able to do on the property without having to come in and go through a use permit process. So appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and just thank staff, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might have of us and the applicants with me in the audience.
Any questions of Rod? None? Okay, Rod, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other we have? Mark, how are you?
I do. Good evening. Mark Stone, 330 St. Francis. I'm here tonight on behalf of the people that live in the St. Francis neighborhood and let you know that the neighborhood supports this project completely. It's out there. The Lees have been upfront with us. The only condition that came up was the staff approval. Brian called me the other day. I went out and talked to the homeowners there, which are pretty much second through fifth generation people that are living out there. They have no heartburn with it all, and mainly because the way the Lees have been with us. For those of you that may have heartburn with agriculture, this is a piece of land that has never been farmed since the canal was put in, because the land is above the water level of the canal. It was a small depression-era gas station on the corner, and another small building at the north end of the land, which was McCready Hardware and Small Engine Repair, until the current building was built out there. Since then, due to past board's decisions, we have had to live with drunks, car crashes, vandalism, street fights, prostitution, and drug sales in the last few years out there, until the card room moved. When they moved to McHenry and Kernan, was the greatest thing for that neighborhood that ever came along out there. The Lees came in and were looking to put in a bar in out there. Pam Thomas and myself met with them and a lady from ABC. We expressed our concerns, and they said at that point that they were going to scrap their plans for the bar out of their concern for the neighborhood and what we lived with. They already had architectural drawings done up, and the set was all set to go. They have since scrapped that. They've worked with us. They've talked to us. Every time something comes up, they'll call myself and Pam Thomas. We'll go out and talk to the neighbors. It's been a breath of fresh air out there. The neighborhood is behind whatever they want to put in wholeheartedly out there. The only concern came from Pam and Steve Cunha, who backs up to the canal over there, and that was about the restrictions you put on the Thomas properties when they rezoned here a while back. And they would hope that they would have the same noise limits put onto them that you put on Pam's property, which is immediately across the street from us. And that out of fairness, if she has to do it, then anybody else that develops over there have to do it. Our heartburn is non-existent with the lease. Our only concern would be if they ever sold the property in the future and what we would have to deal with the new owners, and that's where the noise limit part of it comes into it. Other than that, the whole neighborhood is 100% behind us, just because it's going to bring something into the neighborhood. It's no longer derelict, and the Lees have already said that they will work with us with our concerns over traffic and other problems that are out there. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Mark. Okay. Anybody else?
Can they address the noise?
You guys want to talk about the noise really quick?
Yes. The noise would be any noise on the property would be subject to compliance with the county's noise ordinance. When the project to the south developed, there was an outdoor component that was going to use a PA system. That, however, was restricted to a use permit, so the noise could be further reviewed, and I don't believe that there were any set standards set to that. I believe that the entire project needs to be compliant with our county's noise ordinance, as this one would need to be compliant.
Okay. Very good.
So it would follow the same restrictions?
Correct.
Great.
Comment.
Any other? Okay, sir, I'm Supervisor
Monti. Excuse me, I didn't mean to jump it. Go
That's
ahead.
Okay.
End issue.
Any other public comment? Okay, we will close the public comment and bring it back to the board. Supervisor Monteith.
Well, first of all, I want to praise everyone. I've been concerned about that triangle there. I'm aware of the challenges that we've had in the past, and also it's unique in the fact you have the canal behind it, which limits and gives you a break between agriculture. And what I really like is the way and manner in which it was handled, and the community has been brought in, because people have lived in that area. You may have 3-4 generations, and it's you might call it a colony, if I've used the wrong word, but there's a lot of family and concerns about that area, and it goes very deeply. And with the community being involved in it as it is, that you will have a hand in making decisions of how it's being handled, I think is a good example of how you can address things. And the other thing, which people who live out there are very aware of, St. Francis has been used as a test driving area. When people buy cars, and they new cars or used cars, that's close by, and they can test out their car. And that has been a problem with those living in that area. And I believe with this development, which is being here, that will have a tendency to prevent that type of thing from happening. So I think this is a positive action all the way through. And I want to commend the community, and I want to commend the staff in working it out. And I think it's probably the best solution we have for that triangle, which could be potentially a big problem, and resolving it now in the proper hand. So I want to thank everyone involved in it.
Very good. Supervisor Chiesa.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish they were all this easy. And I go back to, number one, staff is very critical of any ag land conversion, any ag zoning conversion. So you already start with at a deficit. Probably 1 in 10 people actually come in here with the neighbors actually supporting, all the neighbors supporting this. So that makes it a lot easier. This piece has been in commercial for 30 years. It's got a natural buffer with the canal. And I need to go back. One thing I need to clarify, because I heard from the proponent that it is staff approval, but I didn't see it in the regarding car sales. It'll come back without a use permit, but it's staff approval.
Yes, as it was proposed to the Planning Commission and reflected in the memo that went to the Planning Commission, it would be a use that would require a use permit. The applicant has requested, and staff is supporting, that instead of a use permit, it be done at a staff approval permit level. So it's still a discretionary permit. We can still do a full review of it, full site plan review, condition it if necessary, but it would be done at a staff level rather than a use permit.
Okay.
And that would be, we would ask that the board include that in part in their approval this evening to make that modification.
Okay.
And there is history there of a used car lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I just think normally these would come in and be very difficult to do for this board because the piece, where it's located, natural buffer, it's got a 30-year history, which is unusual. You have neighbor support. It's fairly easy. And so two public hearings tonight, two conversions that very rarely go this smoothly, or that I think will go this smoothly. So I'm going to support this.
Very good. Any other comments? I think this is a great project, and it is great. Our job was made easy tonight by thanking staff and the Lees for all the work they've done and the neighbors and Mark and your gathering consensus with the neighbors there. So we appreciate everybody for making our job a little easier tonight, and I will support this also. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second, and that motion included the staff approval of the car lot.
Of the car lot.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Angela, Miguel, Jeremy, good. Okay, very good. Correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Emanuel Medical Center regarding the closure of the Emanuel Family Practice offices on or about May 8, 2015 at the 1010 West Las Palmas Avenue in Patterson, California and 2240 West Monta Vista Avenue in Turlock, California, due to the departure of the physician and inability to find a replacement for this physician.
Refer to the Health Services Agency and the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a copy of the 2014 annual report on toxic emissions from the Valley facilities from the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a request for comments regarding a petition findings for the information regarding five endangered species in California and Nevada.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received six letters regarding transfers of water from various water agencies within California.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Any board reports? None.
No, I have.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
Pushed my button.
There you go. Supervisor DeMartini.
I just had a couple of comments. First, I was very disappointed that the Emanuel has to close its clinic in Patterson. That is an area that lacks doctors already. And I remember going to Emanuel with Keith Boggs, trying to convince them to open up an office in Patterson because there were so few doctors around. And they did that. And unfortunately, they had to close it because they just couldn't keep a doctor there. Oh, it's just very disappointing. The west side is an area that's, I don't know why doctors don't want to go there, but we're short of doctors, and it's a very disappointment to see them move out. The other comment I'd like to make was last week I went to Sacramento to support Assembly Bill 1242. That's Assemblyman Adam Gray's bill. This would require the Water Resources Board to mitigate the loss of water out of the dam and have them consider the impacts upon the groundwater. If the water is released and is not a surface water is not available for irrigation or less of it anyway, it's going to make an impact and a very negative impact on the groundwater here in Stanislaus County, which is already starting to become a problem in places. That bill did pass just narrowly out of the committee, but then Adam Gray got kicked off of the water committee, which is it just shows you how little regard Southern California has for the valley here and the issues that are important to us. It's also disappointing to me that the Water Resources Board would think they have the authority to take water out of a privately owned dam, and water is owned by an irrigation district, and just force us to just dump it down the river to flush out the delta. So anyway, that bill is up for another committee meeting. I believe it's appropriations, I think, next Monday in Sacramento. We hope that it makes it through that committee and keeps on moving.
Very good. Supervisor Chiesa.
Yes, one other thing I wanted to let the citizens know about, but on the mayor's our meeting regarding Matt Beekman's LAFCO representation on May 13th at 6 p.m. at Turlock City Hall. It'd be an opportunity for, again, to show up and be heard. It should be a lively meeting, to say the least, but in case you're not familiar, the mayors appoint the LAFCO member, the nine mayors. A majority of them have asked to have a meeting to reconsider Matt Beekman as the appointment to LAFCO. And I represent Houston and Mayor Matt Beekman. He's been on Cal LAFCO. He's got a long history. He's very well versed in LAFCO law. And it would be, again, very disappointing for me if they try and remove him. So.
Very good. First removal this year. Thank you. Okay, legislative fiscal management report. CEO Risen.
Yeah, thank you. I just kind of wanted to echo what Supervisor DeMartini said this evening about AB 1242. When you adopted your ledge platform tonight, one of the statements was that you would support policies that appropriately protect unimpaired river flows. And that's what Assemblymember Gray's bill was going to do. And obviously, he paid a heavy price for supporting something that is important to us. And we just wanted to acknowledge his efforts and thank him. And speaking of the Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee, they're also taking up another bill, AB 647, that deals with the recharge of groundwater to be considered a beneficial use. So we'll be tracking that important issue as well. And that concludes my report.
I'm just going to throw in my two cents here also on Adam Gray's, Assemblymember Gray's bill. You know, the public is constantly frustrated with us as elected officials is not getting anything done, is always being stuck to one side or the other, and there not being any middle ground. And here we have an assembly person who is trying to do the right thing, who is trying to go across party lines and find some middle ground to achieve something, and he gets penalized for it by his party. It's the exact opposite of what the public wants, and I think it's obvious from what we've all said here today that we want to, you know, acknowledge everything that our assembly member Gray has done and hope he continues the fight and continues to try to work and find bipartisan solutions, which is what he's trying to do. And so we appreciate what he tried to do for our county. Very good. And I believe with that, this meeting is adjourned.